Praise God. Okay, let me ask you guys a question. So feel free, make yourself at home. This is like open mic right now. Question. What is the most, in your opinion, what is the most evil sin that a person can commit? What is the most evil sin that a person can commit? I'm not looking for any right or wrong answer, just from the heart. What do you think? David?
Self-pity.
Mm, amen, brother. Gene? Rejecting God's offer of mercy in Jesus Christ. Serious stuff. Serious stuff. Jenny, I think I saw your hand up.
Pride.
Evil. All kinds of evil comes out of pride. Anybody else? The most evil, evil sin, wicked, dark, dastardly sin a person can commit. Mark.
Grieving the Holy Spirit.
Grieving the Holy Spirit. Wow. Dark stuff. Anybody else? Darlene. Say that again.
Unbelief.
That's right. It's like calling God a liar. God has never lied. Amen, girl. Wow. Anybody else? Laura. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Dissuading somebody else from Christ. Evil stuff. And the other, did I see a hand over here? Dom. False prophecy. Wow, that's pretty evil. Well, I tell you what. Here's what I believe is the most evil, wicked thing a person could do, based on my research recently. Here's what I believe is the most evil, wicked thing a person can do, and that is this. To fail to return a book to the public library. And all these were good answers. I don't want to take anything away. But let me tell you, you talk about dark, wicked, nasty stuff. It's got to be up there among the top 10. Because I was researching recently. You know, they found two books that George Washington had borrowed from the public library. Recently found them. I think it was this past year, in April, I believe. And they calculated the overdue fine, the penalty that was due, if that book was actually returned in April when this article came out. And they calculated, what they figured out was, adjusted for inflation, the penalty that George Washington owed for failing to return those books was in the neighborhood of $300,000 for two books. $300,000. He'd have been better off to rob a bank than fail to return those library books. That's a lot of money. Now, true confession time. I saw Angie cringing over here. I don't know. I'm not going to put you on the spot, Angie. I'm not going to draw any attention to you or anything. I don't know if maybe you have library books stashed in some secret place of the house somewhere. But my personal experience back in 1980 to 81, somewhere around that time period, shortly after I got saved, I borrowed a little paperback book from the public library. I was so thrilled to find it there. It was Hal Lindsey's There's a New World Coming. It was the sequel, the follow-up to The Late Great Planet Earth. And it was basically like a commentary on the book of Revelation. I just thought that was so cool. I was devouring that thing. And then we moved to the Eastern Shore. And somehow in all the shuffling and all the movement and everything, the book got lost for a little while. I mean, like, you know, a couple of years. And one day I found it, and I thought, oh my goodness, man, I've had this thing for a couple of years now. I can't take this back to the library. I can barely afford to put food on the table as it is. I'll go to jail because they'll find me. I won't be able to pay it. So I didn't. I just held on to it. Eventually, I don't know what I don't have it anymore. I don't know whether I gave it away or I threw it away. I think I might have thrown it away because, you know, if you give it away and it's got the library tag in the back, they're going to send it back to the library. And then, you know, so it's gone. I don't know where it is. And so this thing, you know, it's like, wow. And yesterday, as I was considering all these things, I thought, well, what would be the fine if I actually returned it today? If after church I, you know, had it and I ran across the bridge and turned myself in. And so I went on the website to the Annapolis branch of the Anne Arundel County Public Library, and I found out at 25 cents a day, I would owe them $2,737.75 for this paperback book. That is a lot of cash. That's a lot of money.
This is all recorded.
This is all recorded. That's right. Yeah. Being put on the internet. And yeah, exactly, Dave. We'll see that in a minute. It's almost like it becomes the unpardonable sin. Because the longer you wait, you find out, well, I can't take it back, I don't have that much money, but the longer you wait, the more and more impossible it becomes to take that thing back and reconcile everything and make it right. And so you can never go back, you can never reconcile, and it becomes literally the unpardonable sin. Failure to return a book to the public library. And let me assure you, that thing will haunt you every day of your life, and your sin will find you out. I see some smiles in here. I think there's some overdue books in this house today. The Bible says your sin will find you out. You'll be going into the doctor's office sometime. Show up, go up to the receptionist, tell her your name, John D'Souza, 9 o'clock. And some librarian sitting in the waiting room is going to jump up and say, "Wait a minute! I know you. You're the guy that owes $3,000 to the public library. Your butt is mine now, buddy. Your name just went on the library's most wanted list last week, and I recognized it as soon as you said it." Of course, the receptionist is there like, "You better give me cash for that copay. $3,000, I ain't taking no checks from you, buddy." I mean, it can be a terrible thing. You can never get any pardon. You know, you're just like in a bad place. Thankfully, I checked this out a little bit further, dug a little deeper, and thankfully, I feel so free now. I feel so liberated. Now I just want to testify. They capped the fine at $10. So all these years I've been a haunted, tormented man, fugitive from the law, running and hiding, and finally I can come forward and confess my sin and get relief. Plus $10. So, oh man, wow. Now actually we are going to talk a little bit today about the unpardonable sin. It's not my main point, but it comes up in the text, so I figured I'd throw that in there. My main point today, the thing that I want to talk about today, is people's reaction to revival. Now, what in the world that has to do with the overdue public library books? I don't know. It just kind of fell together in the mix. But I want to talk about today people's reaction to revival. And in the text that I'm studying here, I see that there are three basic ways that people react to revival. Three basic ways people react to revival. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 3, verse 7. We're going to put it up on the screen, but you're welcome to turn there if you'd like as we're continuing the study of the book of Mark, going through the gospel. Last week we talked about five ways that the gospel is offensive to religion. And as we talked about those ways, we stopped at the end of the text that we had the Pharisees conspiring with their enemies, the Herodians, plotting how to destroy Jesus. Now, it's weird because the Pharisees were the enemies of the Herodians. They really didn't get along. They hated each other. But you know the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right. So these, you know, two guys that were at odds conspiring together how they're going to destroy Jesus because he offended them five different ways just by being who he was. And that brings us to Mark chapter 3, verse 7. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he had healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. Wow. What a picture of a beautiful chaos. A beautiful chaos. If you can somehow in your mind, in your spirit, just place yourself there for a moment. There at the Sea of Galilee, with multitudes coming, surrounding, anxious, excited. Now it says here that they came from Galilee, that was to the west. It says they came from Judea, Jerusalem, and Idumea, which is Edom, that was from the south. It says they came from beyond the Jordan, that was to the east. And they came from Tyre and Sidon, that was to the north. So they came from the west, the south, the east, the north. They literally came from all over the entire country to see this man and get a taste of what he was doing. They had heard incredible things. And so many people came that he was literally in danger of being crushed by the crowd. And I can hear people criticizing, "Where's the leadership here? They almost killed the guest speaker. I couldn't believe it, man. Who's organizing this thing?" But it was a beautiful chaos. It was glorious. It was holy. It was wild. People were pressing into him, just pressing in, reaching out, trying to just touch him somehow. He's over there, and they're just kind of like trying to get to the guy, and they just don't care. I got to touch him somehow. And there's like hundreds, thousands of people just pressing together. Jesus said, "Buddy, you better get a boat. This is getting dangerous."